Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 20. As we're turning there, I just want to make a quick announcement. Friday night was a wonderful Good Friday service. Thank you for those that came. Thank you, James, for all the special effects and the music and so forth. Thank you, Pamela, again, for putting that together. Great service. We were blessed. We were so blessed. And next Sunday, we have a special guest coming to preach. Jesse and Hillary Comrie are the directors of a ministry called Global Missions. They travel all over the world preaching the gospel, and signs and wonders follow their ministry. So bring a friend next Sunday. It's going to be a great day as well. So John chapter 20. I've entitled the message today, Reasons to Rejoice. And I think we have several reasons to rejoice when we think about the day that it is. Stand with me if you would, please. John chapter 20, starting at verse number 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there and the handkerchief or the face cloth that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. Father, thank you, Lord, that we have something to be excited about today. Thank you, Lord, that we have a risen, living Savior. Thank you, Lord, that there's resurrection hope in all who have received Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray, Lord, that this sermon today would be more than a sermon. We pray that it would be impactful, not only for today, but for the rest of our lives as we look at the scriptures about what you have done for us. Bless this sermon, Lord. Anoint me to preach the way you want. Let it be heard and received and applied the way you want as well. And Lord, be glorified in the process. And may your blessing rest upon all of us. And Lord, help me to speak. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is a glorious day. Christians all over the world are rejoicing and celebrating, remembering that Jesus is alive. The resurrection of Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. Everything hinges on the empty tomb and the risen Christ. Without Christ, let's put it this way, without the risen Christ, the cross is deemed invalid. Without the risen Christ, there will be no second coming. Without the risen Christ, there's no newness of life for us. But each gospel presents the resurrection of Christ, each in a little bit different way. Matthew 28:6 says this, that the angel said to the ladies that came, he is risen just as he said, come and see where he lay. Mark 16:6 says it like this, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Luke 24 says it this way, he's not here, but is risen. Remember how we spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. The resurrection of Jesus continues to be the main theme throughout the book of Acts and the epistles, even going into Revelation. In Acts 2:32, when Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, on that first day of Pentecost, began to preach, he was remembering just a little bit before, this Jesus whom you crucified, God raised from the dead. And he was proclaiming such a central truth to our faith. Acts 4:33, we read that with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord. I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, he gives one of the greatest defenses and greatest exposés about the beauty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Corinthians were saying that if you're in Christ, you don't rise from the dead. And Paul took that as an opportunity to say, wait a minute. If the dead in Christ don't rise from the dead, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, he said, our preaching is empty. Our faith is futile, and we're still in our sins. He said, if Christ is not risen, if we have hope only in this life, we're the most pitied people of all. But he says in 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of all who sleep. Peter carries the same message when he writes his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 1. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The apostle John says the same thing in his epistle, 1 John. We have seen with our eyes, we've handled with our hands, we've seen the manifested Savior, and we declare all that we've seen and heard to you so that you may have fellowship with us. Well, the biblical record goes into quite a lot of detail regarding this special day. Let me try to give you a synopsis. I probably won't hit everything, but I think I have most of it in the story. But did you know on the first day of the week, on that day, that there was an earthquake? There was an earthquake on Friday when Jesus died on the cross. And it says in Matthew's gospel, it says on that Friday, there were graves, there were tombs in Jerusalem that opened. But on Sunday, another earthquake came, and those dead people in the graves got up and walked around the city of Jerusalem. Did you know that? There was a resurrection of sorts in the city of Jerusalem on that day. Amazing. At the same time, we read it was still dark on that first day, and the ladies came to the tomb. They were coming to anoint the body with oils. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, another Mary, and some others. And they saw that the stone was rolled away. But before we go too far from that, let me just tell you something. That stone probably weighed close to 2,000 pounds. It was about a ton worth or around there. And so that having that stone moved away was no small task. When the ladies got there, the stone was moved out of the way, and there was an angel sitting on top of the stone. I heard one preacher say, that happened for our enjoyment and entertainment. Can you picture it? Just an angel sitting on top of the stone as the whole thing unfolds. But Mary Magdalene sees what's going on, and she runs to tell Peter and John. We just read it in John 20. And there's something about John's gospel. I didn't notice it until recently. But did you notice that when John writes, he wrote about the apostle whom Jesus loved? That's himself. He wrote about the one who got to the tomb first. That's himself. He talked about the one who believed, and not Peter, but it was he who believed. I just wonder if John was getting refined at the moment. But I love the humanity. So John and Peter come running to the tomb. John gets there first because he's more athletic and strong, maybe. Peter follows behind, and John stops, but Peter goes rushing into the tomb. He sees the cloths there lying, and they begin to ponder what's going on. In the meantime, when the Roman guards saw the angels and the angels spoke, those guards fell down like they were dead men. The presence of God was so strong. Mary Magdalene comes running back. She sees what's going on, and she says, they've stolen the body. And two angels appear to her, try to comfort her, question her. And all of a sudden, she sees a third figure in the background, thinking it was the gardener. And the third person looks at her, and he says, Mary. And she realizes then, as he called her name, it was Jesus. And she says, Rabbi, Rabbi. And then Jesus goes to his men. He talks to them. He breathes on them. He says, peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit. In the background of the story, the Romans and the Jews are conspiring together, paying off the guards to make up a story that someone stole the body. And they wanted to quench what was going on, but they couldn't quench it. For the next 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples and many people, teaching them, fellowshipping with them, eating with them. He met two on the road to Emmaus that Sunday night. He met with Peter. He met with Thomas. He met with James, his brother. He met with, according to Paul, 500 people at one time. On the 40th day, he was received up in glory. On the 50th day, he released the Holy Spirit, and the church was birthed. And from then until now, Christians have been proclaiming that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you five reasons to rejoice today. And each thing that I talk about will be accented by a special song or a banner or something to convey what we're talking about. The first reason to rejoice, I find it in Matthew 28:6, all the gospel. I just shared a whole bunch of scriptures about it. The first reason is that Jesus is alive. I want to just stress it. Jesus Christ is alive. Now, some of you know that because you've had an encounter with Christ. Some of you don't know that yet. You've heard about it, and you're wondering for the lightning bolt to strike you. I don't know, but Jesus is alive. Some of you may remember this old song we used to sing on this day. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever man may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives inside my heart. Amen. I did a little research the other day. I found out all these characters in history that are pretty prominent. You probably know some, maybe not all. But all these people died and were buried. Not one of them rose from the grave. Zoroaster, the founder of Zoroastrianism, he died. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, he died. He called himself God, by the way. Buddha died. Jacob Amman, the founder of the Amish sect, he died. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Church of Latter-day Saints, he died. Mary Baker Eddy, the founder of Christian Science, she died. Charles Taz Russell, the founder of Jehovah's Witnesses, he died. Gerald Gardner, the founder of the Wicca movement, New Age movement, he died. Sung Young Moon, founder of the Unification Church, he died. They're all dead with graves and no resurrection. And then there were other people that died. People like John Wesley or Billy Graham, for instance, or John Calvin. People like Abraham and Moses and David. People like Peter and John and James and so forth that died, but they're waiting for the resurrection. But only one resurrected from the grave. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. He has no tomb. And all as the word began to spread, people receiving Christ, becoming children of God through faith in Jesus, and those first century Christians, they set a precedent from the very beginning. Most of them, died because of their faith. If only they would say it didn't happen, they would be spared. No one recanted. They couldn't deny the fact that Jesus Christ was alive. They wouldn't, they couldn't, and they won't. And that same principle is happening today. People today are facing persecution and hardship because of their faith and belief in the risen Savior. At this time, we're going to have the children come and present a special ministry that Jesus Christ is alive. Give them a warm welcome as they come. Thank you. Thank you, kids, banner team. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. You know, Jesus has been known to speak to us in our darkest moments. Some of you may be thinking, I want God to speak to me. Sometimes it takes a dark moment, a troublesome time to hear God's voice. I'm going to ask you to encourage you, just be listening for the Lord. I want to give you the second reason why it's important and necessary to rejoice during this time. And that is because the blood of Christ is sufficient. I find such a connection between the cross and the empty tomb. They work hand in hand together. In fact, if one isn't there, it invalidates the other. They must work together. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was accepted by the Father, And the Father's stamp of approval was given when Jesus came out of the tomb. They do work together. The blood of Christ covers us. The resurrection of Christ empowers us. Peter writes, we're not redeemed by silver and gold. Listen, you can't buy your way to heaven. You're not redeemed by the tradition of men. You can't get into heaven by the traditions of your family, even though they may be good traditions. We're redeemed, according to Peter in the Word of God, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You ever wonder why it's called the precious blood? There's no blood like it. It's clean, it's spotless, it's pure. It was the pure Lamb of God that was slain for our sins. Ephesians tells us, in him, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood. Colossians 1:20, it says, all things have been reconciled by the blood of the cross. And in Romans chapter 6, which is a great teaching on water baptism, in Romans 6, verse 5, Paul writes, if we are united together in the likeness of his death, meaning if we identify with the crucified Christ, if we believe in the crucified Christ, if we understand that he died for my sins, if we're in the likeness of his death, then certainly we shall be united in the likeness of his resurrection. We're having a water baptism on April the 14th. If anyone needs to be baptized in water, please let us know. We have several signed up already. But the water baptism is so significant. In case you didn't know, we follow a biblical pattern of immersion in water. Yeah, you get dunked like a donut in Dunkin' Donuts. You go under the water. And that, you know, when I first heard that many years ago, I said, why? I said, what? And the pastor said, yeah. I said, why? He said, well. He said, are you born again? I said, yeah, I'm born again. He goes, great. The Lord says to let that be a public testimony that you're born again. I said, what do you mean? He said, did you die to yourself? I said, yeah. He said, well, you go under the water like you're in a grave. He got my attention at that point. And I said, yeah, okay, go under the water like I'm in a grave. And I come out of the water as resurrected power living within me. I want to encourage you to get baptized in water. Like many pastors, we don't hold you down too long. just long enough to make sure you got it. You know what I mean? Some people may have to get held down a little bit longer. One time, someone's feet came up. I had to get them too. Everything goes under. Everything goes under. But it says, you know, if you're united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be united in the likeness of his resurrection. Just focus on the word certainly. There's not many things in life that we're certain of, but this we're certain of. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And we are certain if we died with Christ, we are absolutely 100% convinced. We're not hoping. We're not wishful thinking. We are convinced that this is accurate and true, and it's a fact. We will walk in the newness of his resurrection. Can anyone give a testimony to that? I can be a testimony. My friends at home are still wondering, what happened to that guy? Well, he got born again. What do you mean, born again? Well, the old man died and the new man has come. Not perfect, but being perfected as we go along. If we identify with his death, we will certainly identify with his resurrection. The blood of the risen Savior is enough, listen to this, to save us, to forgive us, to heal us, to make us acceptable to God, ratified by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. At this time, I'm going to ask Alicia Wigman to come sing to us about how good the blood of Christ is. Amen.
Running out of time, sin separated. The breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight. So you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne.
Yes, 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 yes.
Thank you, Alicia. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. Reason to rejoice today. The blood of Jesus has set us free. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. I want to give you the third reason why I think it's important to rejoice today. Because this is a message for all generations of people. You're never too young. You're never so old. This gospel message is for everybody. It's never too late, never too early to receive the risen Savior as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to talk about children today just for a minute. We saw the kids doing the banner presentation. Doesn't that warm your heart? How many of you wish, if you could turn back the clock, that when you were that age, you were being brought up in the church that preached the gospel of Jesus Christ? It would have made a lot of difference in my life, for one. But, you know, Jesus always loved the children. It's like there was a special place in his heart for children. He said to the apostles one day, they tried to shoo the kids away from Jesus. And Jesus said, no, let them come to me. For of such is the kingdom of God. And he put his hands on them and blessed them, prayed over them. And I'm sure the apostles, it's just my opinion, especially Peter and John, were saying, what are you doing? But he was showing them these kids are important. He said in another place, you know, if you hurt one of these precious children of mine, of ours, it would be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck and you were cast into the sea. That's pretty serious. Matthew 21:15. We talked about it last Sunday, Palm Sunday. It was the children that were crying out in one part, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the Pharisees were telling Jesus, tell them to be quiet. And Jesus, quoting from Psalm 8, says, don't you know that praise is perfected in the babes and in infants? God is glorified through the praises of kids. I see in Acts 2:39 that the promise of the Holy Spirit, the anointing, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children and all that will come after you. Well, we saw the kids do their ministry, but we have another young lady in the church, our granddaughter, and she represents a new generation of believers. I believe that with all my heart. With her brother and sister and with the kids in this church, there's a revolution going on. Yeah, there's a revolution going on. And I want to talk just a minute about Ella Victory Johnson. Stacy and Dan are her parents. We're the grandparents. Her brother and sister are Ava and Jack. But Ella is my partner on Thursday Talk. Some of you watch Thursday Talk. Yeah, go ahead. And Jack is on Tuesday. Ella's on Thursday. But Ella is a budding songwriter. And the Lord gave her a song the other day about the resurrection. I want her to come and share this song with you because she represents a new generation that's not afraid. Amen. They're not afraid. They have Holy Ghost power now. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the future. Listen, if you have kids or grandkids or people, young people in your life, you know there's a battle for their soul going on. Let me say one more thing before Ella comes. Whenever you see children in the house of God, they may not look right, act right, be right. You know what? Rejoice anyway. I would rather have them in the house of God than on some street corner doing who knows what. So I'm telling you the truth. You see a young person, say hello. Say it's good to see you in God's house today. You never know what God's going to do with those young people. The young people of today need a voice. They won't listen to my voice. They'll listen to a peer that will talk about the things of God. So praise the Lord. Ella, why don't you come and let's get ready to sing this song. Thank you. Rejoice today. This is a message for every generation of people, every culture of people, every nation of people all over the world. This message is for everybody. And out of the mouths of babes, praise is perfected. Hallelujah. Thank you, Ella, for that beautiful song. I want to give you the fourth reason. The fourth reason why we rejoice today is because the battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. I want to read a passage of scripture from Colossians chapter 2. It says this. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Colossians 2, verse 13. It says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh." Man, I could relate to that. Being dead in my trespasses. Can anyone relate to that? That's prior to Christ coming. That's walking and living. You think you're doing great, but you're really living in darkness. And most of the time, you don't even know it until someone shines the light on you. But being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, all your sins, forgiven by God. Can you remember what that was like when you first came to Jesus? You felt the burden of your heart rolling away. I remember that so well. It was a ton of weight on my shoulders I didn't need to be carrying. And I tried for so long to carry it and work it out. I couldn't do it. Finally, it was taken. Having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to, he's referring to the law of Moses. We could never keep the law of Moses. He says he has taken it out of the way and he nailed it to the cross. Then he says this, verse 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. So whenever we hear those words in the Bible, it's referring to a dominion above us. It's not an earthly dominion. It's demons or angels. He's talking about demons right here. He disarmed demonic principalities and demonic powers. He made a public spectacle of them in the heavenlies. And he triumphed over them in it. I have this vision in my heart and in my spirit. Jesus dying on the cross and demons almost rejoicing. We got them now. We got them now. But that night and that day and another night and another day went by and that tomb began to shake and earthquake and demon power just went, oh my goodness, I thought we had him. But the resurrected Jesus defeated the demonic forces that wanted to hold him in the ground. And now when we put our faith and trust in him, that life in Christ, that life in the resurrection power of Christ is attributed to us. This is when a pastor would say, can I get a witness? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's not you, it's not me. It's Christ in us that's doing something unique and powerful. And we even amaze ourselves about what God is doing in us. Some of us never thought we would have a happy marriage or a happy life or be drug free or whatever. Some of us never thought we could get our head together and be a productive person. But with Christ, all things are possible. Why? Demonic forces are done with, and the flesh is crucified. We're living for Jesus. Jesus conquered death. What could be greater than death? I want to share with you, the battle is the Lord's, and the Lord has the victory. When we associate with him, we get the victory too. Denora Bonifacio, come talk to us about the battle. Sing to us about the battle. That the battle is the Lord's. Amen. God bless you, sister. Sing to us. Amen.
The battle, you see my victory.
Amen. Yes.
When all I see is the mountain, you see a mountain.
Oh, hallelujah.
And as I walk through the shadows, your love surrounds me. There's nothing to fear now, for I am safe with you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Denora. Wow, we should do this every Sunday, I think. It makes my preaching a lot better, doesn't it? Woo! Reasons to rejoice. Jesus is alive. The blood is sufficient. It's for all generations. And the battle is the Lord's. I think I mentioned I had four, but I really have five. We have five. Why don't we stand together for this one? John 3:16. Most of us know John 3:16. Can we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Would have what? Everlasting life. The fourth reason we rejoice is because we have an eternity to spend with God. We have an eternal faith that's activated when we're first born again. That's when our new life really begins. So we're living on earth with an eternity in mind. And God is helping us get through this life to get over to the other side of life. We serve an everlasting King and an everlasting kingdom. We're destined to live somewhere forever. Now you have two choices. One is heaven, and the other is that other place called hell. Yeah, we'll preach about hell. But there's heaven and there's hell. Jesus said there's only one way to get to the Father. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. So you may say, yeah, but what about this one? What about that one? What about this, what he said? I read you a whole list of people that died. They're still in the grave. You want to put your faith in them? Go right ahead. I choose a living Savior. He's my Savior. He's the one with eternal life in his heart. And so when you receive Christ, you know, we have an eternity before us. Every head bowed for just a moment. Pastor Arturo, could you come here, please? Come here. Every head bowed for just a moment. Translate this for me. Yes. We are so thankful that you're here today.
Estamos tan contentos de tenerles en la casa hoy.
We hope that you come back again.
Esperamos que retornen nuevamente.
But this is our one moment.
Este es un momento.
To present to you.
Para presentarte
an opportunity,
una oportunidad,
to receive Jesus Christ,
para recibir a Jesucristo,
not as an acquaintance,
no como una coincidencia,
not as only a friend,
no como un solo amigo,
and not only as a helper,
y no tan solamente como un ayudador,
but the Savior of your soul,
pero el Salvador de tu vida,
the Redeemer of your life,
el Redentor de tu vida.
But in order to receive that,
pero de manera para recibirle,
you have to understand,
necesitas entender,
you have got to die,
tú tienes que morir,
that he may live in you,
para que él pueda vivir en ti.
He doesn't want you near the cross,
él no te quiere cerca de la cruz,
he wants you on the cross,
él te quiere en la cruz.
When we die to self,
cuando morimos a nosotros mismos,
we live to him,
vivimos para él.
So I'm going to ask you today.
Yo te voy a pedir,
is there anybody here?
Hay alguien aquí,
maybe somebody online.
Alguien en la línea,
that has never, I'm talking about never made this commitment to the Lord.
Que nunca ha hecho este commitment con el Señor.
Today,
hoy,
I express my faith.
Yo expreso mi fe.
In Jesus Christ.
En Jesucristo.
I believe he died for me.
Yo creo que él murió por mí.
He took my sin.
Él se llevó mis pecados.
Nailed it to the cross.
Los clavó en la cruz.
And is waiting for me.
Y está esperando por mí.
To receive it.
Para que yo lo reciba.
I receive that today.
Yo recibo eso hoy.
I open my heart.
Yo le ofrezco mi corazón.
I invite this Jesus.
Yo invito a Jesucristo.
The crucified one.
El Cristo crucificado.
The resurrected one.
El Cristo resucitado.
The one that's coming back again.
El que viene nuevamente.
I invite this one.
Yo invito a este.
Into my life.
En mi vida.
To redeem me.
Para que me compre a mí, me redima.
And Lord, with your help.
Y Señor, con tu ayuda.
I'll give you my word.
Te doy mi palabra.
I'll do my best.
Yo voy a hacer lo mejor.
To serve you.
Para servirte.
The rest of my life.
En lo resto de mi vida.
I'm going to pray now for everyone.
Voy a orar.
Father God, in the name of Jesus.
Padre, en el nombre de Jesús.
May you seal what just happened.
Que tú selles lo que ha pasado.
Seal it.
Séllalo.
With your Holy Spirit.
Con tu Espíritu Santo.
Seeds of faith have been planted.
La semilla de fe ha sido plantada.
Some seeds have sprouted.
La semilla ha sido regada.
Some are growing.
Algunas de las semillas están creciendo.
Others are maturing.
Otras están madurando.
But we pray.
Pero oramos.
In the name of Jesus.
En el nombre de Jesús.
That nothing.
Que nada.
Would interfere.
Va a interferir.
With what you started today.
Con lo que tú has comenzado aquí.
We pray, Lord, for anyone who said that prayer.
Oramos por cada uno de los que han hecho esta oración.
To be encouraged.
Que sean fortalecidos.
To keep seeking.
Para que continúen.
The kingdom of God.
El reino de los cielos.
This we pray.
Esto oramos en el nombre de Jesús.
Amen. everybody said, amen.
Y todos dicen.
Would you greet everyone? I just want to introduce, this is Pastor Arturo Del Valle from the Harvest Hills Ministry that meets here every Sunday and during the week. Just greet everyone if you would. Your wife asked me, God bless you.
Gloria. Let me first present, I'm here with my lovely wife, Esther Del Valle. And as Pastor said quickly, what a moment, what a great opportunity to be on the house of the Lord. Faith and hope is in this place. Salvation and restoration. This is the place when heaven comes down to meet with his children. The opportunity of life, it is in one decision. The smartest decision that a man can ever make, it is to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. There's no other faith. Amen. There's no other in who we can trust, only in Jesus. Amen. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the seed of the Lord grow through you, in you, forever and ever into our eternity.
Well, I did say there were five, right? We got those four. The one more, we have a forever. Stacy, come on up here. We're going to sing. We're going to invite everyone to sing this together. Stacy, how are you doing? Happy birthday to you yesterday, by the way. Amen. Come on. Happy birthday. Ready to sing?
Standing and worship with me? Yeah? All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. lift up our praise here in this house, declaring that the ground shook and death was defeated. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Let's Amen. Bless the Lord. He's our risen King. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to say our closing prayer right now. But if you receive Jesus today, would you please talk to me? Talk to my wife, Pamela, before you go home. We just want to connect with you. We want to invite everyone to come back next Sunday if you can. We're going to have a great service next week. I'm going to pray. Now, when I pray, there's coffee in the back there available for you. But when you go out these doors, you know, some churches have a sign. When you go out, it says, "Welcome to the mission field." We don't have to go across the ocean. We've got to go across the street to find the mission field. But take this resurrection power in you and share it with somebody that needs to hear the gospel. You know people that don't know Jesus. Let somebody know what's in your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. We have someone and something to celebrate. And Lord, not only today, it's not only on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, we rejoice every day that you're alive. And so Lord, we pray as we close out this service that nothing is ending. It's just beginning to rise up in our hearts that we would live this resurrection power out on the street, out in our home, out in our workplace, out in our schools, out in our neighborhoods. We pray, Lord, that resurrection power would continue to flow in us and out from us. Let us touch others that need to know the power of the cross. Lord, there are some people addicted right now. They have no hope. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be sex or pornography. It may be gambling, whatever. There are some people bound up with worry and anxiety. They're worried about everything, worried about their money, worried about paying bills. Lord, people need this message. Empower us, oh God, to share the hope that we have in us, that Jesus Christ is enough for us. So thank you, Lord. May your Holy Spirit continue to empower us as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen, and amen, and amen. Go in victory. Go in victory, church. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. If you're with us for the first time today and received a visitor packet, please return those visitor cards to one of the ushers on your way out today. Thank you. Thank you.